The Supreme Court ruled that the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, has the authority to regulate carbon dioxide gas in automobile exhaust as a climate-changing pollutant. The ruling says that the EPA's failure thus far to do so runs counter to federal clean air statutes. Under the Bush administration, the agency has acknowledged its regulatory authority over CO2 emissions, but has declined to exercise it. More broadly, the ruling by the Supreme Court marks the first time that the High Court has weighed in on the contentious issue of global warming. Many scientists believe that warming is being caused by growing concentrations in the atmosphere of carbon dioxide from auto emissions and other industrial sources. The High Court essentially sided with environmentalists in its narrow ruling, five justices prevailing over four, that the federal government has to deal with the adverse environmental impact of carbon dioxide emissions. David Hawkins is the director of the Climate Center at the Natural Resources Defense Council, an environmental activist group based in New York City.
This ruling is a huge development in establishing that the law of the land is that EPA has authority to regulate carbon dioxide, which is the principal global warming pollutant, from vehicles, which is one of the largest sources of global warming emissions in the United States and globally.
But critics of the High Court decision argue that scientists themselves do not agree about the extent to which carbon dioxide contributes to global warming. Ben Lieberman, a senior fellow with the Conservative Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., says that given that uncertainty, the High Court ruling was, in his view, misguided.
I believe that there is some global warming, but I believe that the reality falls very, very far short of the crisis rhetoric, and that virtually everything that's said about global warming that sounds terrifying is not true, and the stuff that is true is not all that terrifying.
Lieberman says that if there were sufficient consumer demand for automobiles with lower carbon dioxide emissions, automakers will build them. Federal regulation, he says, will be a mistake ecologically and economically.
In Europe, with their initial efforts to try to regulate carbon dioxide, it's causing some significant increases in energy costs for measures that are actually not doing all that much. But as it turns out, restricting carbon dioxide emissions, which is emissions from fossil fuels, which is the backbone of every modern economy, turns out to be very expensive. So we could be on our way to some very serious economic consequences.
But automobile industry analysts point out that even before the court ruling, American automakers had reached out to environmental groups and proposed new limits on CO2 car emissions. The High Court decision, these analysts say, should encourage this corporate trend. Environmental activist David Hawkins predicts that the EPA will soon write regulations setting lower limits on automotive carbon dioxide emissions and that automakers will have to comply. Hardly a new process, says Hawkins.
They would do the same thing for carbon dioxide that they have done for carbon monoxide and for hydrocarbons and for nitrogen oxides. I'm mentioning other pollutants that come out of tailpipes when gasoline is burned. And for almost 40 years now, EPA has written regulations for those other pollutants, but not for carbon dioxide. Typically, the rules are expressed in terms of how many grams of a pollutant per mile may be emitted by a vehicle. And the way those are administered is that the manufacturers develop what are prototype vehicles that will be exactly the kind of vehicles that they propose to manufacture in a given model year. And they test them in either their own laboratories or EPA laboratories. And those test results have to show that the vehicles, when operated, will emit fewer grams per mile than the standard.
David Hawkins says that cars, trucks, and SUVs made in the United States to meet the new standards will be available in about 5 years and would cost about $1,000 more than they otherwise would in that new car model year. He also predicts the cars will be smaller, reversing recent manufacturing trends that have responded to consumer demand for minivans and other larger vehicles. I'm Andrew Barrack.